listening to Fox Sports Radio.
It was announced on Tuesday, Lakers guard Avery Bradley is opting out of the NBA's restart in Orlando. Bradley's son has a history of respiratory issues, and Bradley doesn't want to put him at risk, so he will be sitting out the restart of the NBA season coming up in July.
Okay, let's start with what I believe is the false logic behind this decision. And maybe I'm wrong. Hint, I don't think I am, but here we go. Anyone step up and tell me if they think I'm wrong. If Avery Bradley said, you know, as much as I'd like to see my kids, you know, every day or almost every day, let's say, you know, occasional guy's day maybe, but let's say he's, you know, best father ever. What it would take for him to have zero risk to his kids would be go play basketball, be there as long as you need to be, and 2 months is the outside, Lakers being a favorite. Very likely it could be 2 months. As soon as you're done, could be sooner too, as soon as you're done, you take a test. Before you go home, the test comes back negative, you walk in the door. Hey, kids. At that point, the chance of, and correct me if I'm wrong, Avery Bradley giving or transmitting the virus to his boy or any of his family would be zero. Unless the test is, I mean, I guess we couldn't figure anything if we don't trust the test. Thus, he's not choosing between basketball and risking his kid's health. He's choosing between basketball and not seeing his kid physically for up to 2 months.
Exactly.
Not saying that's the wrong decision. I'm just saying that feels like the decision. Would you agree with that, Jonas?
Yeah, 100%.
All right. So now the question is, why is it being framed by most people the other way? That he's choosing his fate, that, you know, love, he doesn't want his kid to die just for basketball. It doesn't seem, he doesn't want to not see his boy for 2 months. Now, again, that's a wonder. I mean, the opposite is the father doesn't care. I'm not saying that's bad, but Lordy B, what we are moving towards is a guy who made this year, and he's made a lot of money in his career, Avery Bradley, his contract, $8.8 million. And if we do the math here, 14 divided by 92, if the Lakers end up going far enough to have the max share of this money, which is likely, right?
Yeah.
He would be given back about $1.3 million.
Mm-hmm.
So he's saying $1.3 million versus being able to stay home, not do the job, you know, not do the job I was contracted to do, which is fine. I mean, obviously the NBA is saying we got no problem with it. My question is, what do his teammates think? Does Bradley go? And I'm not sure, McKenzie, if you want to look at that, is what's Bradley's contract for next year? But Jonas, if you were on the Lakers and you were fighting for a title and one of your starters, even if Dr. Fezzik doesn't necessarily agree with that, says, you know, I'm choosing not to play, does that affect your opinion of him next year?
No, that wouldn't bother me personally, but I could understand why it would bother other players personally, and maybe why there might be some distrust moving forward.
Fez.
It would bother me a lot. I mean, let's face it. He's not going to see his son for a month anyways. There's restrictions against families coming to Orlando until after the first round of the playoffs.
Yeah, but it's not a month anyway. If he doesn't go play at all, yeah, he gets to see him today, right, and tomorrow and the next day.
So every other player in the NBA is able to be away from their families for a month, but Avery Bradley has made this his priority. Oh, and by the way, the Lakers are favored to win the NBA title. As a teammate, he is letting me down.
You know what we're thinking of doing? Matt Holt joins, former bookmaker, U.S. Integrity, CEO, founder. We're thinking of getting the All in the Family theme song. Remember when he goes, oh, the way Glenn Miller played Archie Bunker, right?
Sure.
And whenever Fez has like a political take, we're going to just play like Archie Bunker's theme. And that. I mean, he said, if Archie Bunker were here, it'd be like, Archie, who said it, Fezzik or Archie Bunker? That's going to be fun. What's your take on all this?
I think during unprecedented, extraordinary times, we see extraordinary reactions. And what's interesting is I think a month ago, a lot of people thought there were going to be a lot more Avery Bradleys than there really were. A lot more players opting out. I heard people speculating on mainstream, big time, impact players opting out. And the fact that we're only talking about Avery Bradley, who doesn't have any real commitment to the Lakers, this is his first.
He's barely even a starter.
Yeah, he really is. I actually agree with Fez there. He's only a starter because of his veteran presence, but he's been around the league forever. He's on a two-year deal with the Lakers. He doesn't have any emotional baggage
there.
It is
a player option in 2021. So next year's a player option for Bradley.
Yes. So, I mean, at the end of the day, I'm okay with it, actually. I guess if you're a teammate, it's hard for a teammate to tell anyone how to feel, whether it's feelings about social injustice or their children right now. I think it's a hard time to tell people how they should feel about their kids.
But here's the thing. That extends to you can't tell the reacting player how to feel.
Sure, exactly.
So, we're not saying Avery Bradley's wrong. We're saying how will teammates react, and I think it's very reasonable to say, if we're brothers in arms, if we have a goal of what are we willing to sacrifice for this, a chance at a title. And again, I think framing the conversation correctly, that he's sacrificing upwards of 60 days with his kids, and that's it. He's not risking his kid's life if he did it right. That feels like that's not asking too little. I mean, let's look at you as a CEO, and then we'll go to Jonas and get a closing thought. Let's say that you have been working a year and a half towards a big deal, and you're ready to go do a boot camp presentation for 10 days, and your number four guy on a team of 15 says, you know something? Kid's got a recital. They've been practicing violin for a while. I can't go. You're going to just look and have no feeling about it. I'm not saying you're going to say the guy's evil. But you're going to have an emotion, aren't you?
I am. And all I ask of people is that they be prepared for repercussions of what they do. I'm perfectly fine with what Avery Bradley's doing, as long as he's okay with the Lakers not wanting to have him on the team anymore. And if he understands that, then great. If he made that decision knowing that the Lakers probably don't want me back next year and my teammates may not respect me, then fine.
And the Vegas guy said, as long as he's comfortable with the repercussions.
Got a lot of holes in the desert.
Closing thoughts, Jonas.
Yeah, I think I agree with Matt. I think that it's a situation where everybody's got to do what's best for them in the moment, but understand that especially now, and we've seen it with every other story that's gone on, there's going to be people that support you and people that are critical of it. And as long as you can handle that and deal with that, then you're free to do what you want to do. I also wonder if he talked with teammates before he made this decision, or if he just decided this on his own.
I mean, I think I can almost envision the conversation. Listen, guys, I'm barely a starter. I mean, what's the real consequence here? Last thing. So, Jonas, but let's revert, let's use an example. Brady Quinn, you guys are getting some feature week on, noon to whatever, and it's like some big opportunity, and Brady Quinn's like, hey, I got a couple massages planned, and Massage Envy doesn't give you a refund. I mean, obviously, we're having fun with this, but don't you see that if you're trying to achieve history, I mean, effectively to win an NBA title in your chosen sport, meaning this is what Avery Bradley's decided is his life's work, and to say, for 60 days away from my kid, I don't care enough to be there even. That's a strong statement that it doesn't matter all that much. Imagine an analogy to you, Jonas. How do you feel about that person?
I mean, it would depend on what the situation was.
Let's say it was this exact situation. He just doesn't want to be away from his kid for 60 days.
I would understand it.
All right, there you go. Yeah. I guess maybe I'm the... Well, Fez, you're the hardest core one, but again, it's all money. For you, it's just pure money somehow.
Well, it's perfectly fine if someone on Phoenix or someone on Washington opts out, in my opinion.
See, what's funny is that's just you, though. Meaning that for you, mathematically, you're thinking, well, I love my kid, but I don't love him enough to give up a 14.8% chance at the title. But if it was 1.8%, come here, sonny boy.
Exactly.
I mean, he doesn't even deny it. That's what you gotta love.
Straight out of Vegas! Be sure to catch live editions of Straight Outta Vegas weekdays at 6 p.m. Eastern, 3 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
Here's the funny thing about this baseball. If they would have just said, even if they said 5 days, if sometime in early June they would have said, let's get the A negotiators. Now, they have to leave the kids for a while, but get the A negotiators down there, and we're going to stay at this resort. And when we leave, we're going to have a deal, or we're going to go with the 48, you know, whatever it is. And why not do all this in private? Because as much as I understand, if you're competing with someone and you think you've got the better PR position, then making it public exerts leverage against them, the opponent, it still is hurting the game. If the owners hurt the players, yeah, it's better than the owners being hurt themselves, but it's still hurting your talent, your performers, the people who are out front of your brand, and vice versa. If the players get the owners hated, well, that's your sport. That's, you know, your fans might not come watch you. So obviously, they all want the best financially they can get, but they want to minimize the pain the entire baseball gets. Why not have this negotiation over 5 days in private? Do you think we would have really came to a different conclusion?
No, and I thought that really for a sport that hasn't engaged and connected with the millennial base yet, that this didn't do them any justice in engaging with new fans. And if anything, it just pulled them further apart from a base of younger fans who already isn't engaged and isn't connected with Major League Baseball.
And as you said, Fez, the July being open pre-NBA was a missed opportunity.
Absolutely. There was no reason we couldn't have had an 80-game season and some compromise on the players to not take their full pay per game, and then they would have owned July, and now what's going to happen? Baseball's going to come back, and RJ, they're going to have 4 days that they own, July 24th to 28th, and then all the other leagues are going to start up.
Now, fans often will say, geez, that guy, he's got so much money. You know, he made $8 million, made $18 million. Why does he care? Fez, as you've gotten more and more wealthy, do you find yourself caring about money less or the same or more?
The same.
The same?
Yeah.
I'm already a multi-millionaire.
I mean, that's the thing. If you're the kind of person that doesn't care about that last $10,000 when you got $10 million, you're the kind that never gets $10 million. That's your theory.
Exactly,
right?
Yeah.
All right. We've finished now discussing kind of a recap of the disaster of the negotiation. Now, let's look forward. Let's look to make some money. Cold cash over hot takes. Factor number one, when it comes to what's going to be different about this season, 60 games, Buster Olney, ESPN, said he believes the depth of the bullpen, so how many good relievers you have, is going to be so important, so important. Fez, you actually disagree.
I do. I don't understand why in a shortened season, depth is going to be an added advantage for a team to take the extreme. If we played a 200-game season, a really long season, depth would be an enormous advantage. How can depth be an advantage in both the shortened and a long season?
So your theory is that in a long season, there'd be residual fatigue as the season progresses, more and more injuries, arms get more and more tired, DL, et cetera, and thus having a deep bullpen. That guy who's sixth in the bullpen initially, maybe he's going to be fourth or third come the end of the season.
Yes.
Matty Holt, what's your position on this?
I don't think that the need for a deeper bullpen this year has anything to do with the number of games they're going to play, but rather the rules that they changed. The fact that pitchers are now going to have to face three batters or complete the inning means you need...
All right, so let's be clear. So it's Or complete the inning. So what you're saying is, if there's one out, let's say there's two outs, one out to go, pitcher comes in, pitches that one batter, he can come out the next inning.
Correct.
Meaning he can pitch the one batter.
Correct.
Okay.
That's where your specialists come into play. So at the end of the day, you're still going to use your specialist with two outs. But at the end of the day, if you're bringing in a new pitcher, say, to start the sixth inning, you need a guy who you could probably count on to get three outs. And at the end of the day, we've seen starting pitchers pitch less and less, you know, lesser and lesser into games than they ever have. So it's going to be more and more important then that you have five or six good relievers that you could throw out out there if they can't just come in for one batter.
See, I agree with most of your premises. I disagree with your conclusion. It strikes me that the specialist that used to be, let's say, one batter, maybe two if they're both lefties and it's a lefty, and it's one of those big looping specialists, they didn't have to be even competent at the other area, right? Maybe some lefties never face a right-hander, mm-hmm. ever, so it doesn't matter. It's almost like a hitter as a pitcher in the AL. It doesn't matter if you can bat well, because you're hardly ever going to bat, right? I guess it used to be if you were playing the National League. All right. I think now your specialists are still going to have to be competent at the other thing, because more often they're going to have to face more than one batter.
Correct.
Though if it's at the end of the inning, maybe not. And because of that, the amount of pitchers that are going to be good enough to get real time seems to decrease, right? Because if you said, all right, everyone on the old rules, who's going to make the team? And there's all these pitchers on the team. Now we say, anyone here who's not competent to lefties and righties, you got to leave. Some people are going to leave, right? Two or three pitchers per team, maybe. All of a sudden now, you're thinner. There's no magical good pitchers that were retired thing. Now I'm going to come out because of the new rules. So I think in general, bullpens become more important because it's harder to have a good bullpen, because now you got to fill that bullpen with not specialists, but rather guys that are specialized maybe, but competent across the board.
Agreed. And I think that's why Buster only ended up on the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. The Tampa Bay Rays.
I mean, Brady's got a hell of an arm. Yeah. So.
I think that's why he said he liked the Tampa Bay Rays to win the World Series, because they have a bunch of relievers who they can come in and face both righties and lefties. I think bullpen depth is really important, and it's just because of the rules change.
RJ Bell, straight out of Vegas. That's Matty Holt, a former bookmaker. Steve Fezzik joins. Got the roundtable going today. Any thoughts on the bullpen, Jonas?
I think starting pitchers are going to pitch more. I think they're going to pitch more innings than they normally would, because for starters, number one, they're not going to have to pitch as many games because it is a shortened season, so you can leave them out there an extra inning or two and not have to worry about wearing them down later on. Also, I think they're going to pitch longer because now nobody has to bat, so you don't have to worry about running the bases, maybe getting fatigued out there on the base pass if you're in the National League. Thus, I think the best bullpens are still going to have an advantage. I don't know that depth comes into play.
Now, you make a fascinating point, and we're going to talk about DH in a second. I disagree 110%. Well, no, 108%. I disagree about the length of starters, especially the first month or so of the season. Correct me if I'm wrong. This spring training is abridged, right? It's the length of time of it is less. Unless the time in a typical spring training is unnecessary, then they're coming in, and I've heard people say this, where you're going to expect, I think, the starters to go less because they're going to have to throw themselves into full shape. Now, I don't know if that's 3 weeks, 4 weeks, 5 weeks, but would you agree, Jonas, early on, the starters going longer than usual seems unlikely?
And yeah, I would say it's unlikely then, but I think once we get into it, and I think part of the stipulation on the rosters is that they'll start decreasing the number of players on the rosters a couple of weeks in, and I think they're factoring that in, that it's going to take guys to ramp up a little bit once.
Because they're going to have more allowed on the roster,
right?
Because the theory is you're going to have to spread the duties a little bit.
Yes.
Okay. And so my conclusion, I think we all agree, is having a competent, effective bullpen is going to be more important. It's just, how does that happen? Does that happen with depth, or does that happen with having three or four guys that are... I'd rather have a top-heavy bullpen. I'd rather have three good ones, even if sometimes you're in a disaster, that fourth guy's no good at all, than having six or seven not quite good ones, right? I'd rather have a top-heavy bullpen. Does anyone disagree with that?
No, I don't disagree with that.
All right.
Straight out of Vegas!
Be sure to catch live editions of Straight Out of Vegas weekdays at 6 p.m. Eastern, 3 p.m. Pacific.
As we talked about, Archie Bunker-type perspectives from Fez, they might be right sometimes, they might be wrong sometimes. If you say, Jamal Adams signed a contract, he should play for the team he signed the contract for. That's your word is your bond. I think there's some truth to that, to be candid. Not always, not to the extreme, but some truth. But here's what we know. The NFL is not a monopoly. The XFL started, was competing against them. The fact they didn't succeed, the fact they could compete is the question. Obviously, arena ball over the years. Obviously, Canadian football. Now, if you go choose to work for the NFL, it makes a ton of sense that the NFL has their rules. You're not obligated to work there. This isn't conscription, like getting into service or Vietnam War type stuff. This is a choice. Jamal Adams could have went and done anything. He decided to play for the NFL. Part of the deal of playing for the NFL is if you're a first-round pick, it's a four-year contract, team option for year five, here's the salary, go or don't.
Mm-hmm.
It's your choice. Now, a lot of people are going to say, but RJ, that's easy for you to say, but the truth is it's a de facto monopoly. In truth, there's no competition. And let's accept that that's generally the case, that there's no one that's going to league that's going to be able to compete with the NFL, at least now. Why is that? Why is the NFL dominant? It's because of the fact that the NFL has parity. It's one of the key reasons, meaning you can be last one year and win it the next. You know why that is? Because the draft choices have to stay for 4 years. And that they're that if you get to pick early, like the Jets have, you get a guy like Jamal Adams. If you hit a home run, you get to benefit from him. So if Adams gets to choose where he plays, it's going to destroy the very thing about the NFL that makes
parity
it so successful. I don't think it's – I think for the health of the league, you've got to keep this locked up, even if it's not best for the individual player.
Right out of Vegas!
Fox Sports Radio has the best sports talk lineup in the nation. Catch all of our shows at foxsportsradio.com. And within the iHeartRadio app, search FSR to listen live.